It's Friday, March 3rd, 2023, and this is Markets Daily from CoinDesk. I'm Adam B. Levine, here again with Adrian Blust with your daily news roundup. On today's show, we're talking Bitcoin, index insights, top headlines, and more. And just a reminder, CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice. Bitcoin, Ether, and most other top-traded tokens are down in markets showing almost universally lower prices as customers reportedly flee the troubled Silvergate institution. The crypto-friendly bank stock tumbled some 58% during U.S. trading hours yesterday. Most of the other 10 largest cryptocurrencies by market capitalization also saw declines similar to Bitcoin and Ether's. Quote, "Institutions are a bit jumpy as Silvergate seems to be having issues," Nick Ruck of ContentFi, a Web3 venture studio, said in a note to CoinDesk, in which he also mentioned releases of Bitcoin from the long-bankrupt Japanese exchange Mt. Gox as potentially contributing to volatility. The rapid sell-off took a toll on major crypto exchange Coinbase as well, which began experiencing connectivity issues that it's been somewhat notorious for in the past. Other major crypto exchanges, including Binance, Bitfinex, KuCoin, OKX, and Kraken, did not report similar issues. Bitcoin's price fell to an intraday low of $22,020 as Asia trading hours began, after remaining roughly steady at $23,500 for the past few days. Prices have since rebounded slightly from that drop, but remain below our recent norms. But all of this is short-term action. If we take a closer look at where current Bitcoin holders stand, a full 70% of BTC addresses are profitable, according to data from on-chain analytics firm Glassnode. What's known as the percent addresses in profit indicator illustrates the percentage of unique addresses whose average purchase price sits below the current price for Bitcoin. Historically, readings below 50 have indicated that Bitcoin is oversold and thus represent a potential bottom. Readings above 95%, though, indicate a potential top. Bitcoin's current reading falls very much in line with an asset that's been trading in a tight range, as Bitcoin currently has. Ether, meanwhile, saw a similar pattern, falling to $1,550 after spending the past few days hovering around $100 per token higher with limited change. And as we look ahead, Ethereum's Shanghai upgrade, which is expected to allow withdrawals of some $29 billion worth of staked Ether previously locked, which is expected to allow withdrawals for some $29 billion worth of staked Ether that's been locked potentially for a couple of years now. But even with all that supply coming online, at least some analysts say that it's unlikely to cause major selling pressure and crash Ether's price. The argument is essentially that investors are projecting unrealistic fears that unlocking more than 10 million Ether tokens will send prices tumbling by flooding the market. Some analysts suggest that the volume of ETH outflows will be less significant than many observers are predicting. Quote, "I believe withdrawals and inflows from new stakers will be netted out," Nick Hotz, vice president of research at digital asset investment firm Arca, told CoinDesk. Elsewhere, bucking the trend, the native token of the decentralized finance protocol Yearn Finance has managed to fend off bearish market forces with a 7% upward move as investors attempt to capitalize on the upcoming rollout of a liquid staking derivative, sometimes referred to as LSDs. Over the past 48 hours, the token has surged more than 20% against Bitcoin and almost 19% in dollar terms, according to CryptoWatch. And lastly, taking a look at the non-fungible token markets, the war for market share in the NFT space is having an impact, although whether positive or negative might depend on your perspective. According to Web3 data platform Dapp Radar's latest industry report, NFT trading volume reached some $2 billion in February, the highest number since before the meteoric crash of Terra and its UST and Luna tokens back in May of last year. Much of that surge is attributable to the rising popularity of zero-fee marketplace Blur. While NFT sales, that's the number of tokens traded, decreased 32% from January, trading volume, that's the amount of cryptocurrency transacted across those trades, increased by about 120%. Much of this likely had to do with incentivized trades ahead of Blur's native token airdrop in the middle of last month. And as a quick personal aside, one of the reasons that I personally question numbers like these is that when trading fees are removed from platforms, it makes it easier to do what's called wash trading, where essentially you're trading with yourself to make it look like there's more activity than there really is. That's because the cost to trade with yourself gets cheaper without platform fees. And since many automated bots and day traders watch things like momentum and volume to decide what to speculate in next, what might seem like a harmless, cost-effective way to bring attention to a project is actually pretty troubling. My concerns here are particularly heightened when I see that the dollar figures have gone up dramatically, even as the number of tokens traded has gone down. Without trading fees, the only expense is on-chain transaction fees, which are minimized for cost and maximized for value by making fewer, higher-value transactions. I'm not saying the numbers that we're talking about here aren't in fact legitimate, but it's a reminder that especially in decentralized markets where what looks like 100 addresses can actually just be a single person, a skeptical stance is warranted. All in all, Matrixport, a crypto exchange and lending platform, said it's been bullish on digital assets since mid-December, but signals from the U.S. economy are now forcing it to be more cautious. In a research report published this morning, the firm said it's still not the right time to be outright bearish, but suggests cutting exposure by 50% if the price of Bitcoin falls below $22,800. So let's take a look at the numbers. But first, today's crypto coverage comes courtesy of CoinDesk markets analysts Lila Ledesma and I'm Kirk Goodblay. Bitcoin is currently trading at $22,419. That's down about 4% since our show yesterday, while Ether is trading at $1,576 per token. That's down 3.37% over the same time period, according to the CoinDesk Market Index. And speaking of the CoinDesk Market Index, we're looking at an absolute reading this morning of 1,052. That compares against yesterday's reading of 1,096 and represents a just greater than 4% decrease across top traded tokens on the day. Now, before we get to today's traditional markets update, plus a special treat, let's take a quick look at some top headlines. First up, FTX.com has a massive shortfall, so-called, in assets, according to a new press release detailing a presentation filed in the bankrupt crypto exchange's Chapter 11 case yesterday. Using current prices, some $2.2 billion of total assets have been identified in wallets of the accounts associated with FTX.com, of which only $694 million constitutes the most liquid so-called Category A assets that include fiat, stablecoins, Bitcoin, and Ether. Other assets include $385 million of customer receivables and significant claims against FTX's sister company, Alameda Research, and related parties. The presentation also shows a $9.3 billion net borrowing by Alameda from the FTX.com wallets and accounts. CoinDesk's Nelson Wong reports. In other news, the head of the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, better known as the SEC, Gary Gensler, has pushed back on the very idea that crypto exchanges could be safe, qualified custodians for investment advisors. Speaking at an investor advisory committee meeting Thursday, Gensler said a recently proposed rule directing investment advisors to look to qualified custodians for storage of assets, including cryptocurrencies, makes, quote, important enhancements, end quote, to existing protection rules. He also said crypto exchanges should not be considered safe under those guidelines. Quote, based on how crypto trading and lending platforms generally operate, investment advisors cannot rely on them today as qualified custodians, Gensler said. Continuing, to be clear, just because a crypto trading platform claims to be a qualified custodian doesn't mean it is, end quote. In related news, two Republican lawmakers who have been central to the U.S. Congress's ongoing efforts toward regulating crypto are questioning government policies controlling how financial firms handle their accounting for cryptocurrency. U.S. Representative Patrick McHenry, a Republican from North Carolina and the chairman of the House Financial Services Committee, and Senator Cynthia Lummis, a Republican from Wyoming who's authored crypto legislation, sent a letter to several banking agencies yesterday asking how they're dealing with a controversial bulletin from the Securities and Exchange Commission that advised financial institutions they should maintain customers' crypto holdings on their own balance sheets. The letter to the U.S. Central Bank and other U.S. banking agencies criticized the SEC's move last year, known as Staff Accounting Bulletin 121, as a measure that could, quote, deny millions of Americans access to safe and secure custodial arrangements for digital assets, because it would force regulated banks to reject crypto custody as something that comes with major capital demands, end quote. The recent decision in the Celsius bankruptcy, which classified all of Celsius's customers as unsecured creditors and therefore with the back of the line to recover their assets, highlights some of the legal risks of effectively forcing customer custodial assets to be placed on the balance sheet, the lawmakers argued in their letter. The letter also questioned the banking agencies on what interactions they've had with the SEC on this point and whether the securities regulators' position conflicts with their own policies. Fed Chair Jerome Powell already said last year that the central bank would be evaluating the SEC's directive, which, for digital assets at least, changes longstanding practice that customer assets would be kept off of a financial firm's balance sheet. CoinDesk's Nick Day and Jesse Hamilton have more on this in the show notes. And finally, cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase said it bought One River Digital Asset Management, an institutional digital asset manager registered with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. One River Digital, which is a subsidiary of One River Asset Management, will apparently become Coinbase Asset Management, or CBAM, and will, quote, form the foundation, end quote, of Coinbase's investment advisory service for institutional clients, the exchange said in a blog post this morning. CoinDesk's Jamie Crowley has more on this one. And with all that said, let's hand things off to Adrian Blust.
And in other news, bankrupt crypto lender Celsius Network is allowing withdrawals of assets in certain custody accounts, according to a tweet on Tuesday. Eligible users will be able to withdraw all the funds in their accounts up to a certain limit, the company said in an earlier blog post. Celsius secured approval to process certain withdrawals according to several U.S. court orders in January. In February, Celsius published a list of names of users who could withdraw assets locked on the platform, with the company saying at the time it had permission from the U.S. Bankruptcy Court in the Southern District of New York to distribute 94% of each user's assets. Eligibility for withdrawals was dependent on certain criteria, such as that transfers had to be less than $7,575 when they were originally made, the February documents said, and users have to have enough assets on the platform to cover any withdrawal fees. CoinDesk's Chamomile Shumba reports on that. Now, before we get into traditional markets, let's take a look at how crypto fared this past month of February as we now get into March. We're going to phone in CoinDesk Indices' Jody Gunsberg to give us a recap. Good morning, Jody. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. Okay, so I saw you put together a comprehensive review of the month of February in crypto markets in the context of our ever-evolving macro world. Let's start with why what looked like a flat February in crypto was actually pretty interesting. Can you tell us a little bit more about what we can take away from what happened last month?
Yeah, February looked pretty flat, at least on the surface. But the CoinDesk market index was up, you know, just about 0.8%, while our Bitcoin index was up just slightly more, posting 1% for the month. Despite this, there was a lot going on within crypto that supported the gain while all other asset classes fell. In the midst of this turn to a challenging macroeconomic backdrop with high inflation and strong employment, that likely indicates higher rates for longer, which is generally bad for crypto and other assets, positive crypto fundamentals kept it afloat. For example, Bitcoin, supported by the Ordinals protocol, is essentially bringing NFTs to that blockchain, creating a new high-value use case for Bitcoin. And on the back of that strong growth for Bitcoin-based NFTs, Stax, which is the Bitcoin blockchain's layer 2 chain for smart contracts, gained over 200% in February.
Okay, so Stax saw the biggest gains in the month, likely because people are looking to capitalize on anything related to Bitcoin NFTs, like the Ordinals protocol. So let's zoom out a bit. I wanted to ask you about how you split up the sectors of the crypto market. Can we expand on that and then take a look at how they performed relatively? Explain like I'm five.
Yes. First, I'd mention that not everyone is familiar with the digital asset sector. So when we talk about the sectors, we're referring to how the tokens are defined by their use cases. The crypto sectors are currency, smart contract platforms, DeFi computing, culture and entertainment, digitization, and stablecoins. They're just like the familiar equity sectors like technology, healthcare, or financials. So in February for crypto, 105 of the 158 assets included in the CoinDesk Market Index outperformed Bitcoin, and most of them were in the DeFi and computing sectors. Computing gained 18%, pushing it to over 80% for the year, and DeFi gained 11%, bringing its 2023 gain to 63%. Computing was driven by the excitement generally over artificial intelligence, with ChatGPT and Bing dominating the conversation. And the DeFi sector is benefiting as investors look for greater security and infrastructure, which is clearly needed as we see the news unfold from Silvergate.
Got it. Thank you. Yeah, we are definitely keeping an eye on Silvergate's issues and the contagion effects there. Okay, let's shift and look ahead at March. What are some of the trends we can track into this month?
We're watching the Bitcoin trend as a market indicator. Given Bitcoin's strong start to the year and its ability to hold on to its gains in February after a spectacular January, there's much optimism going into the rest of the year. There have never been two consecutive losing years yet. And as the industry recovers, there's more upside potential with the speed of innovation and increased regulatory focus. However, March has been a historically difficult month for crypto, with only three positive returns in 2019, 2021, and 2022. And while there have been 16 times where three consecutive monthly gains happened, only two times were isolated. So that demonstrates momentum. So if Bitcoin gains again in March, I believe it may signal a turning point, given the last time Bitcoin had three positive months was in the first quarter of 2021, and that year ended up over 57%.
Okay, so potentially, if history is a guide, if Bitcoin ticks up, people may expect it to continue to climb into the month. All right, last question, and thank you so much, Judy. We've been talking about trends in Bitcoin as an asset here. Curious though, what are some trends we are seeing from the investors buying Bitcoin? Like, who are the buyers? What are they interested in?
Yeah, we're seeing tons of interest from wealth advisors and pensions that want crypto beyond Bitcoin with a reliable source to select the assets in an index format, because they're looking for access to the crypto asset class with simple solutions. They want digital large cap select for market exposure, but that's concentrated. Just five assets now cover about 70% of the market cap. And it's also concentrated in just two sectors, currency and smart contract platforms. That's mainly from the Bitcoin and the ETH. So what we're really seeing is more demand for diversification across the sectors in the CMI Select, which focuses on the sectors for diversification or for sector strategies. So one thing that we're really excited about is we just announced our deal with For Us All, where we are the first to bring crypto index access to workers through their 401ks. It's huge to have crypto indices entering this $7 trillion defined contribution retirement space in the US. And we're breaking new ground again, following our success with the turnkey asset management programs, but this time with pension assets.
Wonderful. Thank you again, Jody.
Thank you.
That was Jody Guntzberg, Managing Director of CoinDesk Indices, to give us her takeaways from her monthly report. And shifting to traditional markets, U.S. and European stocks rose on Friday as investors took an optimistic view of a week of data releases that showed economies in both regions were more robust than expected. In the U.S., the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose just under 1%, while the S&P 500 gained 1.2%. The tech-heavy NASDAQ, meanwhile, gained just over 2%. In Europe, the regional Stoxx 600 gained just under 0.9%, while London's FTSE 100 traded relatively flat. Germany's DAX, meanwhile, gained the most at 1.5%. In Asia, the trend continued with Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index gaining just over 0.2%, while mainland China's Shanghai Composite Index gained just over 0.5%. Japan's Nikkei 225 gained the most at 1.8% higher over the same time period. In commodities markets, Brent crude, the global benchmark for oil, bucked the trend and edged 1.3% lower, trading at $83.44 per barrel. Gold, meanwhile, is trading at $1,849 per troy ounce. That's just over 0.25% higher. Today's traditional market coverage draws from the FT and MarketWatch.
Stay tuned for after the break, and we'll take a look at the latest theory in a high-profile crypto scam from back in the day. We'll be right back.
Join CoinDesk's Consensus 2023, the most important conversation in crypto and Web3, happening April 26th through 28th in Austin, Texas. Consensus is the industry's only event bringing together all sides of crypto, Web3, and the metaverse. Immerse yourself in all that blockchain technology has to offer creators, builders, founders, brand leaders, entrepreneurs, and more. Use code MARKETSDAILY to get 15% off your pass. Visit consensus.coindesk.com or check the link in the show notes.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Today's featured story is an opinion piece from David Z. Morris, CoinDesk's chief insights columnist. Our piece today is entitled, "Was OneCoin's Missing Crypto Queen Murdered by Mobsters?" New documents suggest that infamous crypto scammer Ruja Ignatova, co-founder of the OneCoin fraud and one of the FBI's 10 most wanted, was murdered by a notorious drug lord as long ago as 2018. OneCoin, a Ponzi scheme that never launched a blockchain but claimed that it would, ran from 2014 to roughly 2017 and allegedly fleeced victims of around $4 billion. Though inconclusive, the new evidence would be consistent with prior hints that Ignatova and her fake crypto were entangled with organized crime. The story could also be a dire premonition of the danger facing other crypto scammers who may have dallied with high-level thugs, a group possibly including some of the most recognizable crypto fraudsters of last year. The evidence of Ignatova's murder came in documents acquired by the Bureau for Investigative Reporting and Data, or BIRD. BIRD has shared documents seized after the shooting of Lubomir Ivanov, a former Bulgarian police commander. According to BIRD, the documents suggest that Ignatova was murdered in 2018 on orders from a notorious Bulgarian drug lord, usually referred to simply as Taki. BIRD also claims the documents implicate the head of Bulgaria's National Homicide Investigators. The documents also contain details about drunken statements made by a Taki affiliate. According to those statements, Taki ordered Ignatova's murder, which allegedly occurred in November of 2018 on a yacht in the Ionian Sea. According to the statements, Ignatova's body was dismembered and thrown into the ocean. Finance Magnates has a good summary of the BIRD report linked in the show notes for this article. Ignatova has not been seen in public for more than 5 years, and intense speculation has swirled around her disappearance, including the possibility that she may have changed her appearance. Speculation flared again recently when a London apartment owned by Ignatova went on sale, but the BBC reports that sale was conducted by German prosecutors who had apparently seized the property, and not by the missing woman. The new evidence is tentative and partial, but BIRD is a seemingly reputable investigative organization focused on corruption in Eastern Europe, Russia, and the Balkans. It's an affiliate of the respected International Consortium for Investigative Journalism. Prior to BIRD's findings, the BBC's Jamie Bartlett had assembled a variety of hints that Ignatova and OneCoin were either a front for organized crime or had become entangled with mobsters. Such a relationship could have seemed mutually beneficial for a time. Taki's apparent influence over high-level police officials in Ignatova's native Bulgaria could have sounded like a path to safety for the so-called crypto queen. And a cryptocurrency pyramid scheme, which included vast, opaque, and entirely off-chain accounting, would have been an incredibly useful channel for both laundering illicit funds and generating its own profits. This would not be the first time that a high-profile scam, crypto-inspired or otherwise, was in fact linked to organized crime and official corruption. As we explored in the first season of CoinDesk's new Crypto Crooks podcast, for instance, there is significant evidence that the infamous BitConnect scheme was linked to corrupt officials in India. But the main nexus of crypto and organized crime has long appeared to be in Eastern Europe, Russia, and the Balkans, which are also hotbeds of traditional banking fraud. Meanwhile, there have been rumors of dark connections to more recent high-profile frauds, particularly those whose founders have fled to far-flung, non-extradition countries to evade prosecution in jurisdictions with strong rule of law. Speculation has swirled that investment funds or projects may have taken emergency loans from gangsters as the crypto market declined, for instance. It's particularly suggestive that Terra founder Do Kwon, the South Korean national, has allegedly made the unlikely flight to Serbia, which shares a long border with Bulgaria. Recent U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission charges have clearly established the alleged fraudulent intent of the Terra project, and claim that Kwon has cashed out huge amounts of Bitcoin since the scheme's collapse. We already know that many of the con men and hucksters who stole vast sums in 2022 were fundamentally very dumb people with little concept of risk management. That certainly could have led to entanglements with the kinds of people who are willing to dismember your dead body and literally throw you to the sharks. Time, as it has in the case of the missing crypto queen, will tell. And that's our show for today. Thank you very much for listening. If you have any questions or comments, send the show an email at podcast@coindesk.com, or you can email me directly at adamlevine@coindesk.com. If you like what we're doing, we always appreciate reviews on Apple Podcasts or your preferred listening platform. This episode was produced by Adrian Blust and myself, with further support from the podcast team over at CoinDesk.com. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Markets Daily.